joining us now from Golf National outside Paris, we've got Paul Armitage. He's the director of golf. We're so excited to have you on. Welcome into the golf shop.
Hello, how are you doing?
We are well, and we are excited to have you on and to talk about the Ryder Cup, to talk about the Golf National golf course outside Paris. I guess I have to ask many of the same questions we ask our domestic directors of golf who are facing big tournaments. How did the off-season weather affect the course? Are you guys in really good shape?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. First of all, we've just had one of the wettest winters on history. It rained just about every day from November to April. I think we had 18 days in 3-4 months without rain, so it was quite horrendous. And now we've just gone through one of the driest summers we've ever experienced as well. So, but the course is actually in amazing shape. It looks great because some of the parts we haven't sprinkled as much, we haven't maintained as much as far as water is concerned. So the course just stands out as being green and beautiful at the minute. It's in good health.
So when you're talking about lush and green and all that rain, I mean this is a course that has some history. So the rough is deeply rooted, and do we expect to see it particularly penal during the Ryder Cup?
Well, it's part of the Albatross. The Albatross is the name of the golf course where the Ryder Cup will be played. The rough will be as it usually is. Yeah, it's pretty close to the fairways. It's not a very long course. It's a tricky course. It's a course which will, if you're playing well, you'll score well on. But if you're not, if something is off on your game, some part of your game is off or your mental is off, it will eat you up. And one of the things that will eat you up is some of the rough, yeah.
And you guys, you're no strangers to big events. Is it different, though, setting up a golf course and preparing for a team event like the Ryder Cup as opposed to just a regular tour event?
Yeah, we've never organized anything quite as big as this. And when it gets on TV in a couple of weeks' time, I think you'll notice as well. You guys did a great job in Hazeltine. I think it was a new benchmark for the Ryder Cup. It was a fantastic staging, a great setup. But I think this one will take it one step even further. I think the place is the Golf National is set up for major tournaments. But this is, I'm not joking and not exaggerating. I'll let you judge for yourselves. But it's 10, 15 times bigger than our French Open, which is on the European Tour.
Wow. Now, so what kind of, I have to ask then, what kind of things have kept you up at night in preparation for this?
actually, not that much because I'm sleeping quite well. The nights are shorter because I just fall asleep when I get in and wake up pretty early to get to work. But, we're doing well. We don't have any red lights. We don't have any blockages at the minute. We've got a couple of flashing yellow ones which will turn green pretty quick, so there are no real issues. I think just the size, when you switch on your TV or listen to it on the radio, it's going to be loud and it's going to be big. It's the first tee grandstand, for example, if we take that just for an example of the size, there are 6,600 seats on it, and if you compare that to Hazeltine, there were 1,200 seats on that first tee. So, and Glen Eagles was 2,000 seats. So, you can imagine just the size of that first tee experience and how big that's getting.
Wow. So, well, we're talking to Paul Armitage. He's the director of golf at Le Golf National, and just outside of Paris, we're going to be hosting the Ryder Cup. Before we turn to the competition itself, I want to stick with the course. Match play is different, but I'm looking at the scorecard and how things shake out. And You know, I saw last year at the Solheim Cup, there was a lot of strategy put into, you know, who was going to tee off first, particularly, obviously, in alternate shot based on the layout of the course. How does the layout, you start with a 419-yard par 4, and then it's right to into sort of a 200-yard par 3, and then a par 5 that's, you know, sort of mid-500s. How does the layout of the course affect the way you set up for match play?
Well, the golf course is you've got to use your brains. You've got to pick it out all the way around. It's a shot maker's golf course. So I think it's probably even better set up for match play, whether it be in doubles or singles, than for stroke play. As you move your way around, I think where the knee knocking and the strategy will all play out is that I think you need to get a few birdies in the first six holes. If you look at hole 5 and 6, you've got to look to make birdie on the 5th and 6th, but the easiest two holes on the golf course. If you don't, then you're definitely going to lose the hole. Somebody's going to make birdie on there systematically. Then, from the 6th hole, if you're not 1 or 2 up, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be win one, lose one, win one, lose one, all the way back. And then as you get to 15, 16, 17, 18, what we call the tribunal, the last four holes, they will be absolutely knee-knocking. They are so difficult, and they'll be so noisy because you can see everybody who's standing around the 15th to the 18th area. You see every hole. You can see all of the golf. And so you're going to get loud and you're going to get cheery on the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th. And you don't want to be level coming off the 17th because it's the most knee-knocking par 4 to finish with, well, in European golf, because it's the hardest hole on the European Tour, year in, year out. It's a cracking driving hole. There's only one option, straight down the middle, because there's water on your left and high rough on the right. And then you've got a 180-yard-plus shot into the green, and it's 170 yards to cover the water.
Wow. So we really hope to see the action get to 17 and 18 in every match. And the way you're saying the course lays out, if there's not early scoring, so you think we're going to see more matches played all the way to 17 and 18 than we normally would in match play?
Well, I'm hoping so. And I really do think we will, because it really is a match play golf course. And but I think the matches will be tight. I think, you know, looking at the teams and the different choices, this is the best U.S. team we've seen for many, many years, and not just on the paper and the stats, but also in the fact that the word team, you know, they really do look like a team. They're all pally and friendly, and the task force has done its job. But if you look over to Europe and the European team as well, statistically, we've never had as good a team. If you go on world rankings. So I think this is pretty much a tight shout. I think the first couple of days in the doubles will be decisive, and if we come down really with quite a close match on the Saturday night, it's going to be a hell of a Sunday. It's going to be massive.
Yeah, I agreed. I think talk of this being the best ever U.S. team and possibly coming over there and winning easily is preposterous. I mean, when you look at the strength of the European squad and really the fact that the European players always seem to do better in match play than the U.S. players, and I don't know if that's because of the junior golf structure, or they play a lot more team matches than our guys do or whatever, but this is shaping up to be quite a contest. Now, when you're looking at players on the U.S. side, for example, are there players that even the European fans will get behind? And are there guys that the European fans might ride pretty hard?
Yeah, I think we've got the great ingredients. You know, I mean, Thomas Bjorn picked the other day, probably was a surprise because it's not a surprise, because he's picked some of the old boys, because he's got quite a lot of world stars in there, but who are newcomers like Tyrrell Hatton and Tommy Fleetwood. These guys are playing extremely good golf wherever they're playing, whether it be in the US or in Europe, but they've never played in Ryder Cup. So I think his Stenson Garcia picks were security and experience based, and he's got Poulter in there, which, you know, he is Mr. Ryder Cup. So I think we've got all of the ingredients for that team room ambiance, which you know, is one of Europeans' keys to success, basically, in the past. So I think we've got those people out on the golf course who are going to get French crowd support, because we're looking at 52,000 spectators a day on site, which 20,000 will be French, and then the rest will be about 10,000 US and mostly UK and Swedes and Germans. That's the mix of the crowd out there. It's the biggest US crowd coming across, because I think it's Paris and because of the success in Hazeltine. But however many crowds there are from the US, they always get loud. I think it's going to be a screaming match. It's going to be great.
And I'm sure it didn't hurt to have Woods and Mickelson added on either side of the pond. I think that raises the intensity and the anticipation even more, does it not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've been saying for 3 or 4 weeks, we couldn't see Jim Furyk not picking Tiger Woods. And, of course, we've been crossing our fingers that he did, because of just the fact of having Tiger back in the Ryder Cup. And then, you know, really, we do get the feeling over here, I don't know whether it's the same in the U.S., that he's a different player and a different... got a different attitude to the team matches, to the Ryder Cup. You really do feel that he wants to play, and he's got something to prove in those events. So, he'll be and Phil Mickelson's never ever won over here. So those two guys are hungry, and that I think will be massive for the event when it comes around in a couple of weeks' time.
All right, so before we let you go, a couple things. I want to know about those team rooms. I mean, they're good for building chemistry, but how are they going to be outfitted? Do we have ping pong? Do we have video games? Do we have massage tables? What are we talking about?
Well, to be honest with you, I've just left the golf course. I'm sitting in my car in Paris, actually, going to another meeting. But we've just finished emptying our clubhouse and our pro shop. We have a hotel on site, and the hotel side of the facility is going to be used by Jim and the Americans. And the golf club side, my side, where I work, is going to be used by the Europeans. And they're coming in on Monday to decorate up and bring in everything. But I'm sure you'll get a sight of it on TV. I'm not going to let too much away, because it's not really up to me to be letting out some secrets, but I do know that the Americans have got space and have got some great ideas. I've seen the visuals that they're going to be putting out to the players, and they will be very, very much feeling at home. I'll put it like that.
And do I need to ask you before I let you go for a pick? Who you got?
Who wins?
Yeah, who wins?
Oh, come on. Europe all the way. It's going to be blue.
Oh, man.
It's going to be blue. You will see.
Well, it's going to be blue either way. I tell you. All right, Paul. Well, thank you so much. Get to your meeting. We appreciate having you on. And, good luck with the event. It's going to be amazing.
Thank you.